Hello, this is Mark Peacock, and welcome to the Travel Commons Podcast. This is Travel Commons Podcast number 22, recorded Friday, November 11th, 2005. Today's topics: voice from the other side of the ticket counter, finding the best local foods, and classic travel stories, train travel through Eastern Europe. This week, coming to you again from the Travel Commons studios outside of Chicago, because I once again was traveling at the beginning of the week, though this time down to Memphis. A bit more leisurely pace than last week. I was able to fly out Monday morning at 8:30 a.m. I'll tell you, anything that doesn't have my alarm going off before 6 a.m. is a leisurely departure time for me. I actually ended up having dinner with one of my best friends from high school. I don't know, it feels sort of odd to say that, though. I mean, how many of you who are north of 40, as I am, still keep in touch with high school friends? I was sitting in my hotel room at the Marriott in East Memphis, sort of on cruise control, settling in for the night. I had the broadband connection cranked up, ESPN Sports Center on the TV, and planning on making dinner out of the appetizers in the concierge lounge. Sort of hunkering down in my cave. But then a thought came to me. What in the hell am I doing? I've got friends 5 miles away who I haven't seen for 6 months. I gave my friend a call. He'd already eaten, but he's more than happy to have me buy a drink while I ate. So we drank a couple of rounds. I had beer, he had bourbon. You got to love the South for people drinking brown liquor. And we caught up. Talking about kids, both of us have got sons in seventh grade who don't care much for homework, and talked about housing prices. Memphis, though, quite a bit less than Chicago, and work. Only a smattering of sports. It was good times, and didn't stay out too late. I got to bed by about 10:30, and didn't wake up for a hangover. So all is good there. Some quick follow-ups. iTunes this week featured the travel category on its podcast front page, sort of below the fold, sort of that last feature bar. Travel Commons was one of the podcasts listed in that sort of scrolling, rolling highlight bar there. We were number 4 of the four panels. So welcome to everyone who subscribed after seeing us there. I hope you enjoy what you hear. Hey, I finally opened the chainsaw that caused me so many problems with the TSA in podcast number 17. If you remember listening, I got on the plane. I got on a United flight from Denver to Chicago. My dad had given me a chainsaw to do some work in the backyard. And 5 minutes before the flight left, they paged me saying that the TSA had rejected my chainsaw luggage. Because of the fumes that they picked up from the gasoline that had been emptied out, or the empty gas tank. I guess there were still some gasoline fumes. Well, like I said, I've posted some pictures on the website. It looks like the TSA opened absolutely everything, and then actually did a pretty decent tape job as they repacked the whole thing before they rejected it. So, like I said, pictures on the website. Not a bad job from the guys at TSA. Okay, and one last thing, something I've noticed recently. I got to ask this question. What's with the people wearing the Bose noise-canceling headsets everywhere in the plane? I mean, last week I saw a guy walking out of the toilet with his Bose cans on. I mean, I love those Bose headsets as much as the next guy, but, come on, this is a bit too much. The first topic on today's Travel Commons podcast, a voice from the other side of the ticket counter. One of the things that I wanted from the start of Travel Commons was to get a conversation going among listeners and visits to the website, really sort of a conversation about the travel experience. And I tell you, I think we've been pretty successful with that. Just about every week I get emails or there are comments posted on the Travel Commons website with travel stories, what I like to call voice of the traveler stories. I've also actually received a number of notes from folks in the travel industry, hotels, airlines, who say that these stories, hearing what their customers are saying, are one of the main reasons that they stay subscribed. Well, this week I got an email from Nick Gassman of British Airways. He sent me a note on Tuesday responding to a couple of these Voice of the Traveler stories. John Burkhead's Gatwick to Heathrow Dash and Travel Commons number 17, and Jess Green's Troubles with United and Travel Commons number 20. Nick's a customer experience manager responsible for the usability of BA.com and their emails and their kiosks, and I'll tell you, that's a job that's getting more and more important. Well, Nick writes, I listened with some disappointment to your description of the Heathrow Gatwick experience of one of our customers and of the poor attitude of our customer service rep. My genuine opinion is that this is not representative of the quality of service that most customers receive. I would also say that we do care. Many of our top corporate targets relate to how our customers feel and how they rate their experience of British Airways rather than to some abstract financial numbers. I will find someone who has responsibility for the Gatwick experience and ensure that they hear the extract from your podcast. Well, Nick, thanks for that, and I'm sure John Burkhead appreciates that, too. I have to agree, though, with Nick's opinion that John Burkhead's experience was not typical of BA customer service. I've had many good experiences, and other listeners have written in regarding their positive stories. You know, unfortunately for travel providers such as BA, it's only one employee with a bad day. It causes them to lose a customer worth thousands of dollars or pounds sterling of profit. For travelers, even frequent travelers, you know, the travel experience is a stressful time, one where they have little control over their own situation. In any given transaction, the traveler feels that the airline or the hotel or the car rental agency employee really has all the power. And I believe that this just amplifies the reaction to any sense of sort of less than caring service. Because the traveler is so dependent upon the travel provider's service, that person-to-person interaction, good or bad, takes on more importance than it does in almost, say, any other retail experience, such as a store or a restaurant. Nick agrees with this observation and says that it's well recognized internally within BA, and he says it actually makes the case for more automation. And remember, in Travel Commons number 20, Jess Green was sort of complaining about the automated flight cancellation calls that he got. Well, Nick says, you know, there's some evidence that in many cases an interaction with a system, such as checking in online, can lead to higher satisfaction than interaction with a person. So long as the system does what it's supposed to do, then there are no disappointed expectations. He says this clearly does not mean that you can do away with people, and he says there's no plans to do so, but it does open the door to some very complex issues. Nick, I want to thank you for taking the time to give us the perspectives from the other side of the ticket counter. And as always, thanks to everyone who sends these notes, these Voice of the Traveler stories, and folks from the travel industry who give us your perspective. Thanks to all of you guys. And remember, the email address for that is comments@travelcommons.com. Or, as many folks do, you can leave comments on the Travel Commons website, www.travelcommons.com. I got to get out of Memphis. Sunday's come too soon. I got to get out of Memphis. Sunday's come too soon. The second topic on today's Travel Commons podcast, finding the best local food. You know, I tell you, I've got to admit to a very serious weakness for pork barbecue, both ribs and pulled pork sandwiches. You know, every once in a while when I'm driving home from downtown Chicago, when I'm heading back home from the Loop, I'll actually take a quick detour through Oak Park and pick up some ribs from Robinson's for dinner. But I'll tell you, now that I'm flying down to Memphis a bit between now and Christmas, I mean, I'm going to be down again next week, and I'll probably be down at least sort of three or four times between now and Christmas. Well, I'll tell you, if I didn't have any shame about cliches, I'd say I'll be in hog heaven. You know, in Travel Commons podcast number 19, I mentioned that I had hit the Rendezvous, which is famous for their dry rub ribs, last time I was in Memphis. What I didn't say was that the next day I hit the Interstate Barbecue stand in Memphis Airport for a pulled pork sandwich. And this week I made it over to the Germantown Commissary for a sandwich, a pork barbecue sandwich at lunch on Monday, and then hit the Corky's stand in the airport for a pork plate, you know, trying to save the calories by cutting down on the bread. I did that Tuesday night for dinner before flying back to Chicago. So as you can tell, I'm not even faking an attempt at moderation. I mean, why lie to yourself? But if I'm going to go deep in both calories and in cholesterol, I want to make sure that I'm getting quality. You know, the usual reflex to find anything in a new town is to hit Google. However, for food, there's really a better alternative, a lot more efficient than wading through a bunch of old restaurant reviews. I use the Chowhound's bulletin board. It's at www.chowhound.com. Their tagline, "For those who live to eat," is a pretty fair description of me most times. You know, never let a calorie go to waste. The site is actually pretty straightforward, and it's low-tech. You know, sort of a first-generation website. A couple of clicks from the map gets you to the right regional board, and then you actually use your browser's search function, typically Control-F for Windows PCs. Sorry to my Mac listeners, but my firm issues IBM ThinkPad, so I don't know quite what the key combination is on Safari for you guys. But you use the browser search function as opposed to some fancy sort of Flash applet to find your city. So you sort of type in Memphis and away you go. You find a whole series of conversational threads starting from the most recent down. You know, the nice thing is too is that you don't just get one critic's opinion. You sort of scan the posts and pretty quickly you've got a consensus on the best restaurants in town. Yeah, actually, you'll also find trip reports, people who write up all the restaurants they've hit over a particular visit. Indeed, the first post on the Travel Commons website back in February of this year was actually a Chowhound's trip report that I wrote from an anniversary trip that my wife and I took to Santa Fe, New Mexico a year ago, actually this week. Notes on 8 restaurants over a 5-day trip and kind of a similar pork obsession. But this time in green chili. I ate green chili every day. Well, on Monday night, I fired up the Marriott's broadband connection, trolled through all the Memphis barbecue posts over the past 6 months, and built a list of the best barbecue joints in town. And of course, you know, I'll tell you, there's nothing like a good list to fuel an obsession. I remember spending about 3 months in San Francisco with a guy who was determined to work his way through a top 100 restaurants list from the top down, in order. I tell you, I think we all put on about 5 to 10 pounds during that project. Though I tell you, I gotta watch the lunchtime visits, though. We walked into a guy's office after our visit to the Germantown Commissary, and the guy immediately asked us if we had had the ribs or the pulled pork sandwich for lunch. We just reeked of hickory smoke. Gotta be careful, because, you know, we all know, you gotta keep your obsessions to yourself. And here's the last topic on today's Travel Commons podcast, classic travel stories, train travel through Eastern Europe. When I was in Newport Beach, California a few weeks back, a couple of us got together for dinner. You know, it was a pretty diverse group, a couple of native Californians, a Texan, a Georgian, somebody from Minnesota, an Iranian, and me. It was fun watching the discussion evolve over the first glass of wine. I mean, everybody did the right thing. They pulled out their mobile phones, put them on silent. But then that rolled in immediately into a comparison of phones, features, and call plans. I'll tell you, the first 20 minutes was spent trading phone advice. How do you like the Motorola Razr? How's the Verizon service? Jesus, I hate T-Mobile. You know, 3 years ago, we were all trading sort of point schemes. You know, this frequent flyer trick or that hotel program gig. I don't know, now it's all about the phones. As I've always said, though, pour enough wine into some road warriors and you'll get some good stories. And finishing off the wine after dinner, the stories somehow turned to train trips through Eastern Europe. The first story was actually by one of the native Californians and really sort of our host for the meal. Soon after the fall of the Iron Curtain, he had a group of friends, and they were traveling through the newly freed Eastern Europe. They had been in Budapest over the Christmas holidays, and they were planning to head up to Prague for New Year's. So New Year's Eve night, he had organized a train trip from Budapest to Prague, three couples in a first-class car. But at the border crossing in Slovakia, they ran into some problems. His wife is actually from Brazil, and everybody else in the car was from the U.S. Well, apparently, being a citizen of Brazil, she needed a visa to cross into Slovakia. And at about 10:30 on New Year's Eve night, she didn't have one. And Americans are really bad about visas. I mean, nobody requires us to get them, so nobody pays any attention to them or any attention to others who might need them. Anyhow, the wife gets pulled off the train, and obviously, you know, her American husband goes with them. And the train then pulls off from the siding with the two other couples still in the first-class car bound for Prague. This couple ends up being stuck for the night at some Slovakian border crossing because there's nobody to buy a visa from. That guy's home in bed. He's not going to be in until maybe the next day. So they're tucked in now for a pleasant New Year's Eve night in some rural Slovakian border crossing train station. He said the bathroom was absolutely disgusting. His wife walked in, spun around on her heels, walked right back out. He said there were just a few benches, a couple of bare light bulbs dangling from the ceiling, and a rather surly crowd of drunks waiting till morning to get their visa situations straightened out. He said, though, for some reason, the guards took a little bit of pity on them, maybe because they were the only ones not yelling at the guards. So the guards actually tried to make their life a bit more comfortable. When somebody was on the padded bench, the guards actually came, ran them off the padded bench, and let this guy and his wife sit down. And so they managed to lean up against each other and get a couple of blinks of sleep. As the old New Year's Eve song goes, old acquaintance be forgotten. I think those are a couple of acquaintances that they're working real hard to forget now. My story is actually a bit earlier in 1989 as the Iron Curtain was rusting, but actually before it fell. My wife and I were in Vienna, Austria, and we were going to catch the train over to Budapest. My wife walked up to a money changer, put $100 down, and bought $100 worth of Hungarian forint there in the Vienna train station. Ended up just coming back with a fistful of forint, unfortunately way over exceeding the amount of currency that we were going to be allowed to take into the country. So I gave her the sort of 20 or 40 forint that she was allowed to take in, that each of us were allowed to take in, and I sort of spread the rest of the money around my body, hoping that I wouldn't get a strip search. Got into the train and had a very nice train ride through Austria. Got to the border crossing at Hegyeshalom. And everything stopped. And looking out the train, on each side were soldiers with unslung AK-47s. And a guy walking through the train car, kind of a short guy, around his neck, he had a little desk contraption that he was using to stamp visas. Luckily, we had paid attention and knew that we had to have visas, so we had ours all put together. Behind him were two very tall guys, each with unslung AK-47s, and this guy sort of moved through the train, kind of like a snowplow, moving everybody aside, stamping passports. We didn't have a problem, though. All our papers were in order, and indeed, when he saw the American passports, no problems were given. However, my wife, who speaks Hungarian, told me that he was really rustling up all the Hungarians who were coming back from Vienna. He'd look in, he'd see a family having a bit of a picnic lunch in the car, and he'd be telling them, "You better get that finished up before we get into Budapest." So we thought things were pretty much wrapped up, and we're sort of looking out the door, and we noticed that they had a backpacker. And they literally had the backpacker by the soldier, had him one on each side of him, had him by his arm, had him sort of at the elbow, picked him up so the guy's feet were off the ground, and were walking him into the train siding. I think that guy didn't have his visa in order, and I think that guy was going to be spending some time on some hard benches, because as he looked back, the train began to pull off, and we headed into Budapest. tough times back then on those train rides. And I think it's gotten a lot better now. But those train stories made for a couple of interesting conversations a couple of weeks ago at dinner in California. Okay, that's it. That's the end of Travel Commons podcast number 22. I hope you all enjoyed this podcast, and I hope you decide to stay subscribed. Remember, travel stories, travel experiences are at the core of the Travel Commons podcast, so send them along. Notes to comments@travelcommons.com or post your thoughts and comments on our website at www.travelcommons.com. I actually also appreciate the postings, the feedback that folks post on podcastalley.com. And as always, thanks to everybody for all the feedback. Take care. I hope you have a good week, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Bye now.